Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we have our service industry profile with Scott Lustig.
Lustig. Yeah, you didn't say it right.
I sure didn't, man. I sure didn't. As a part of our mission here at the Modern Waiter Podcast, not only do we entertain and educate, but we showcase service industry workers. But first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay.
And before we get into today's show, we're very proud to be a part of the brand new One Star Podcast Network, where it's the one-stop shop for all your restaurant and food-related podcasts. We are featuring the Sidework Podcast, Copper and Heat, In Your Mouth Podcast, The Macaroni Zone, and Confessions of a Server. Did you know that every day of the week, one of our podcasts are running?
In the weekend? Or Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
So there's always a podcast on the One Star Network.
Love it.
Yeah, man. Fantastic. So let's get started. Welcome, Scott, to the podcast.
Thank you.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny DeVillum.
What's up, people?
Yeah. Let's get into this little profile here. You know, all of you out there really know that it's a rich. There's a plethora of different type of people in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, strong mix.
It's a strong mix. And I'm always fascinated by learning things about people, you know? And where'd you get your... how'd you get your start in the business? What's your background?
I was always into culinary food.
Okay.
My grandparents always cooked. I was always by their side when they were cooking, mainly because I like to eat, I guess, like everyone else.
Yeah.
And I just kept going with it, and I always knew I wanted to be a chef, actually.
Okay.
Awesome.
So I worked at some good restaurants. I had my own sandwich shop for a long time. That's a whole nother ballgame, owning your own business. That's just, it's another level.
Okay.
You definitely appreciate what you have. Because it's yours, like you're there 24/7.
Wow.
So it's when it's all yours, you think a little different about throwing something out or how you take care of a product, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's get into that a little bit later. And in the beginning, you mentioned that you went to culinary school.
I did.
Was that the genesis where you decided to take it, like, you know, your passion a little bit seriously? Or
it was serious before that even happened. I was 18 when I went to culinary school.
Oh.
I was already going, you know.
Okay.
I like a lot of people, my first job was at McDonald's.
Wow.
It did start there, and then I worked under some great chefs, and I started getting some recognition, and people were wanting to hire me and bring me into their restaurants and work there. And you know, when you're wanted, it gets exciting. You start getting pumped up, and you want to take it to the next level.
Okay.
But
not giving away your age. Culinary school is how long ago?
When I went.
Yeah.
Okay,
never mind.
about the same age as you would have been.
Okay.
So, you know. culinary school is good, but you don't need it.
Gotcha.
You definitely don't need it. If you want to be a great chef, there's a lot of great chefs out there that had no culinary experience, experience. Yeah.
Okay.
Start cooking, you start finding your niche, you start finding your style of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's so many different styles. And that is really what takes you into being a good server, knowing the food.
Yeah, that's huge.
Huge. If you're going to be a good server, I mean, there's two things you need. You need knowledge and you need passion. If you want to be a good server and make the money, those are the two things you got to have.
Because people can feel that.
They know. They know if you're just blowing smoke or not.
Yeah.
You know, they can feel that. You know, some of the biggest compliments I got one recently. You love your job. I do. I really like where I work. Yeah, there's ups and downs. There's good days and bad days. But I like what I do, and people can see that.
Nice.
And then it shows up in your tip at the end of the day.
There you go. Okay, so culinary school, boom. And you mentioned recognition, right? What was the first place that you worked at after? You don't have to tell me exactly the name of it, but what style place did you work at?
At the time, I thought it was like the modern thing with all these cool things. It was like, you know, a macadamia nut crusted snapper with a triple sec beurre blanc and some couscous. And, you know, back then it was like, wow, they're crusting fish back in the 90s, you know. And now they use so many ingredients that I have a hard time even keeping up.
Okay.
You know, some of the great restaurants, these chefs use some of these ingredients that I don't even know, but it's your job to know if you're going to be a good server.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got to know all these ingredients. They're going to ask you. It's on the menu. So you got to know it. And if you know it and you're smooth.
So what's that first job out of culinary school like? Were you on the, you know, you're on the line or you're just prepping or?
Yeah, I was a line cook for a long time. Mm-hmm. When I first got into, I guess, management was being a sous chef position.
Okay.
I was about 22 years old and they asked me to open up restaurants around the country. So they flew me around.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was really cool. You know, you're a 22 year old kid.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It was through.
It's a lot of experience. I love that.
I can talk about the name of this if it's okay. It's called the California Cafe.
Okay.
Not the Pizza Kitchen. Way back, this was a long time ago. They had Napa Valley Grill. A lot of restaurants, obviously, in California, Mall of the Americas. I was able to open up. They first sent me to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. There was a new mall being opened downtown Indianapolis. It was really cool. It's three stories, virtual world upstairs. Yeah, it has a name. I can't remember. It was right by where the Market Square Arena and the RCA Dome used to be called. So I was there for a month and a half. Kid working. They work you when you're opening restaurants. We were opening two. And so I worked there for a month and a half. Then I came back home. We had the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. And then they sent me up to Long Island and then Philadelphia, back and forth. So it was a cool experience.
That is a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
Now, at that age, that's you're not only working, you're managing your life, too.
Yeah, there was no, there's no life. I'll be honest with you. When you're opening restaurants for people, there's no life. Like the first day I went in there, they were like, Scott, just, you know, train the grill cook. You know, this is inside a brand new mall. Mm. So you're picturing 500 covers for lunch, 500 covers for dinner. You're doing soups by 15 gallons at a time. I mean, we're doing massive quantities. So they're like, Scott, just train the grill cook, work with him, show him what we're going to do. On the second day, the sous chef of the restaurant walked out. Scott, can you take care of production for the facility? Young kid. Hell yeah, I can. Give me it. Bring it. I was hungry. I was like, you know, I was like, I'll do it. No problem.
Yeah.
So now I'm running the show, basically running the prep kitchen, making sure everybody's got what they need for this brand new restaurant. I mean, they put millions into this restaurant. Like the hood system, they had a kitchen for the back and then one that was out, you know, in the public. In the hood system, they did tile. And they had this guy from Hawaii come in that did like a huge sun in tile. And they cracked it and then pasted these pieces like it was a puzzle, like a crossword or like a jigsaw puzzle.
Uh-huh.
And put it up. So it had a theme of a sun that was on the hood system. It's unbelievable. Big money.
Yeah.
The bar was a beach scene, had sand through plexiglass. Mm-hmm. You saw like little figures playing in the sea. It was unbelievable, the money they spent.
So then after you're traveling around, you're still primarily back of the house at this point.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Did you have no front of house interactions at that time?
At this time, no.
Okay,
cool. No, not at all.
Yeah.
I was strictly back of the house, production. training cooks, stuff like that.
Then after you started to get that, you're sought after, basically. You worked for this company. They're flying you around. How long before, what happens then in your journey? You're still back at the house. What happens after this?
Well, we were a team for a while. Mm-hmm. The head chef, sous chefs, we were friends outside of work. We all went our separate ways. One guy stayed. One guy went out to California. I wound up going to Martha's Vineyard.
Okay, nice.
I had a buddy up there. Yeah. I stayed with him. We had a log cabin. Just wanted to see something different. Uh-huh. I'm like, I'm 23. Let's go. So I did that for a summer. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
the summers up there are amazing.
Summers up there are amazing. especially if you're a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to have a good time. Then I came back. Then Del Rey started.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. I started working. This was Del Rey way back when Del Rey isn't what it is today. And it's good times. I'm in my 20s, having a good time working in Del Rey before it became what it is today.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens then? It's take us through then your transition, right?
Okay.
What was the catalyst to make any move at all from the back of the house? Like, what was going on in your life?
Well, question actually before we get to that part.
Okay.
Is the restaurant that you, the sandwich shop that you ran, is that in between the serving or is that after?
I actually tried to get out of the restaurant business.
Okay.
Okay. I started an auto detailing business where I was doing that during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be up at 5 a.m., go to my parents, pick up my trailer, start cleaning cars, and then at night I was cooking.
Okay.
So I wanted to try and find a way to change my life and maybe start a new business.
Why did you want out?
It's tough, man. Being a chef all these years, I just wanted to find something else. And this kind of came to me. Somebody just said, hey, you keep your car so clean, how much would you charge me? And it just took off.
Okay.
Took off where I was able to get away from the restaurant business.
That's awesome.
And then it pulled me back in.
That's the thing.
It does that.
You know, I've done several things outside of the service industry, really.
Mm.
You know, I had a commercial cleaning company for a long time. I still do a t-shirt company. I do screen printing and embroidery to this day. I started in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've done other things. I had a lawn care business.
Did you do these things, though? Was it to get out of the restaurant business?
You see, I was resisting the restaurant business the whole time. It was, to me, wasn't the main thing. And I thought that, hey, I would just do this. I did this in college or right after college. And I'm going to just do this because there was such a stigma against, towards the restaurant business. It couldn't have been something that you would support you, you know? So, hey, what are you doing with yourself? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing here? That kind of thing. So it wasn't so much as I wanted to get out. In my mind, I wasn't in, you know?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I didn't realize that it was treating me well, right? To answer your question, yeah, I just didn't have the mentality. Although I was good at it at the time, I really wasn't that much. I'm still not a people person, but I started, my first job was on the line, you know, in the business. So then coming out, I was able to describe how things are prepared, you know, and I love to cook, but I would never do it in a chef position or a
professional setting.
Yeah, in a professional setting, because I understand, you know, sometimes when you do something for love, unless it occurs for you a certain way, you know, the love isn't quite there, you know. And when you're doing it as a job for someone else and you're creating their dishes and their dream, it tends to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I like the capacity in which I express myself in the kitchen, you know.
Well, to do it as a career, it's backbreaking. I mean, I'll get to the when I opened the sandwich shop. So I was detailing and somebody came up to me and said, hey, would you like to buy the sandwich shop? Blah, blah, blah. So I bought it 2.5 years, 7 days a week, 14 hours later, every day. I was like done. So I decided to go. I got a job up north and up in the mountains in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Wow. You've been around.
Yeah. -60.
Oh my god!
Okay. Now, so it's like a ski resort kind of thing.
Yeah,
nice.
But it's year round.
Cool. Yeah, okay.
It's year round, so it was crazy. But that was an experience. And then to get back, I decided to move back home because my mother got sick. Mm-hmm. She's good. She's cool. Everything's fine.
Good.
But that was like 10 years ago. So I moved back here and was like, hey, I'm going to try something new. And that's how I got into serving.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now we're into the realm of
yeah, taking a chef that, you know, has his moments and going to put him right in the field of all these people and where he has to be nice and hospitable and passionate and friendly. And it actually helped because I had the food knowledge, so I could talk about food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what a lot of chefs out there, when they transform to the front of the house, they can really bring a lot to the table.
Mm-hmm.
They're just afraid to try it.
What was that first... What made you even think of being a server? Were you just, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but were you just done with the chef thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was burnt out being a chef.
Okay.
There's so many hours you put in. When I was up north in the mountains, we were smoking ribs and brisket. I had that thing going 24/7.
Yeah.
I lived on property, so I would wake up, go home, sleep for a couple hours, wake up, throw some more wood in the... I mean, this was a constant thing.
Backbreaking.
Yeah, it's brutal. And when you're tall, you're leaning over constantly. It takes a toll on your back. You're a tall guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's being a chef for a long time is tough.
Okay.
It's real tough.
Tell me about the first place that you worked. What style of restaurant was your first serving job?
Casual.
Okay.
Not corporate. It was a local place. Got to see. I still... carry the tray the same way. I don't know how some of you guys carry a tray with you on your fingertips. I can't do it. I grab the side of it.
Oh, you grab the side?
I still do. All these years, I don't even want to try it with the fingertips. Some of you guys are awesome with it, carrying four martinis on your fingertip. I'm like, oh, what? I mean, I can carry it like this, yeah. But I'll grab a tray, you know.
Like okay. That.
It's kind of weird.
Do you spill at all with that technique?
No. I mean, if they fill up the martini glass to the tippy top, yeah. I'll just shake it because it's going to spill.
It's going
to
spill.
There's anyway. No way I'm going across the restaurant when it's at the tippy top.
There's always a little bit.
Yeah.
It's funny. Actually, I can hold, like, you know, people can walk around. Some people can walk around with martinis. I'm way better on a tray with a I can do a full tray of martinis and walk to the table.
As opposed
on the tray,
to just carrying
one or two, I'll be spilling it. It's like I'm spilling the whole way if I'm walking. Yeah. But you put it on the tray, and I have that, and I can move around. I'm like, but it's so random. If I'm walking, I can have two in my hand, and half the drink will be gone by the time I get there. I'm like, man, I should just put the damn thing on the tray.
Yeah, I like the ease of the tray. I mean, as far as it's very convenient. But then what do you do with this wet tray afterwards? Because you still got to talk to this person.
You stick it in your armpit.
Yeah, and I can't stand that.
Mm-mm.
You know?
And now you're going to put a drink on there after. Awesome.
Yeah. Real nice.
Come on, modern waiters.
Well, you know. We tell the good, the bad, and the ugly here, too. You know? We admit things that
we should.
I admitted that.
I dropped that liquor right on the floor. I do a little drop, shake it off while I'm at the table, yo. Then I throw it under my arm. I go wipe off the tray when I'm done. I keep it moving again.
Keep it moving.
You ever drop the liquid on the floor and it makes such a noise they notice it?
Yeah.
And you didn't realize it's how like much splash of liquid it was there?
Oh, God.
But it was like, to be fair, people, I didn't do it on the indoor. We do have
we have a lot of outdoor seating. Yeah, yeah, I'm talking more about outdoor things and stuff like that.
Yeah, without a doubt. So
I'm not just going to throw it right on the tile so you can slip and kill yourself.
What is what did you find challenging for the
transition? Patience.
I'm talking like your first, you know, your first that casual place. What stood out to you?
The amount of running you have to do. Okay. Back and forth, and you need to limit it.
Yes.
So if you have a 4-table station,
mm-hmm.
and somebody needs salt and pepper, quickly go to your other tables. Hey, do you need something? Limit the amount of times because they will run you back and forth.
Consolidation is the key.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know, and definitely a good pair of shoes for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Avoid working doubles.
That's now. I mean, I don't say I would want them, but, you know, all I used to think about was just the end. I'm going to get this money. But now I think of it differently. I would rather have less shifts and try to maximize when I'm there.
Yep.
I'm present, I'm more pleasant, and I'm more engaged.
Yeah.
But when I'm burnt out from a couple of doubles in a row.
I did this weekend. I am burnt out. I probably look a little tired.
I saw you Saturday. You didn't get to your Sunday yet. You were white.
I was white.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And it's getting hotter out too. So.
Oh, man. I want to impress upon you. You know, everybody, you know, we are fortunate in South Florida. Say from October to February, March, maybe.
Till last week.
till like literally last week. And then it's murder. When you sweat before your shift even starts.
Yeah.
It's.
I got off of work. It was yesterday. I got off of work and I had a black tee on. And I went home real quick to take it because I only work lunch. Mm-hmm. I went home and I took the shirt off. The undershirt was all white with the salt. You know what I mean? Like from working and sweating so much. Oh, man. It's like, I haven't seen that in a while. It's like, oh.
Yeah, we drop a few pounds this time.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Okay, so from the casual.
I got into a country club.
Nice.
Right from there?
Yep.
How many years were you at the casual?
I was doing both.
Oh, okay.
Try not to just, you know. Limit I wanted yourself. To check it out and see if I liked it.
Did you know somebody at the country club? Is that how you got in?
No, I didn't at the time. But I'm still friends with some of them.
Okay.
This one guy, he was there from the time he was 25 and he's 56 now. He's still there.
Wow.
Still there. Worked 6 months up north in Asheville.
Oh, so he does a sober thing.
Yeah.
He must kill it too. He must kill it.
And how many years has he been doing it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. And he gets benefits down here, so he keeps it.
That's awesome.
And he's in with all the club members. When you're in a club for a long time, you're set. It doesn't even matter what they pay you. Like, you know, you're going to get handshakes left and right.
Okay. Tell us about that because we've never had anyone. I had an old girlfriend that worked at a country club.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I believe she worked in the locker room
mm-hmm.
and killed it.
Yeah.
Tell us about the ways in which you make money in a country club. Ooh. What's it like?
It's my favorite thing to talk about.
All right. Get it on.
You can't teach personality. You can't teach. You can teach somebody how to be a good server.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to, like I said before, you need to have knowledge. You need to be on the guest's side. There's too many servers, and you all know who you are, that overorder your tables. Can't do that.
Yeah.
You got to be on their side.
Yeah, be their advocate.
Yeah. I mean, you have times I had not too long ago, four top, they were appetizers, they were entrees, and they want sides with it. And they're like, oh, we want like this side, this side. That. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I feel you.
I'm like, you are ordering like way, I'm like, hold on, you're ordering a little too much. Why don't we just go with this, this, and this? Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the meal.
They appreciate you.
They were like, thank you for not letting us order anymore. This was just like perfect. I saw their plates were empty. It wasn't mm-hmm. anything, no to-go boxes. If you're on their side, let me tell you, they notice things like that and it's going to hit you anyway. No sense in ringing up the check. It's true. All that does is upset them. Your tip is not going to be where it needs to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can't be an order taker. Now you got to have knowledge. You got to know. You got to know wines by the glass. I mean, there are times when, you know, somebody would say, you know, what wine do you recommend? And I would, my first thing is like, oh, where do you want to be on the menu? You know, menu's big list. You know, where do you want to be? Oh, in this range. Okay. And I would sometimes, if it's a wine that I like and it's not as expensive as the other wines I could have chosen, I like it better. I think he's going to have a better experience. I think it's going to go better with the food, even though it's a cheaper wine. Okay, it's going to make them happy.
We're talking country club here. Are they concerned about price or?
I mean, you'd be surprised.
Money. Yeah, money's still money. Really?
They got there for a reason, bro.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Country clubs are different now. Everything is pretty much hourly. When I was going, it was auto grad 18% and they could additional if they liked you.
Gotcha.
And when you're working at a country club, you're more friendly with them because you see them every day.
Okay.
You know, they walk by you, smack you on the ass, give you, you know, a hard time, break your chops. That's because they love you.
Okay.
And those are the ones that you take care of. I mean, mm-hmm. you become closer with them. I mean, I've had them follow me to restaurants that I've worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a great feeling.
What's a great member interaction that you've had that you that sticks with you till this day?
A great member? Well, there's been quite a few. I would say one was when I had to give a, I mean, it wasn't like a friend or a close person, but I had to give a Heimlich to somebody in the middle
of
9 o'clock. Place is packed, guys walking up to me, telling me he's choking to death. The rest of my night was like, it was just, it was crazy. I couldn't even focus, but the guy came up to me and I've been trained in to give a Heimlich, so I knew what to do, and I grabbed water, I popped him one time, cracked every bone in his body, and it still was there. He was still choking. So here I am like, oh my God, let me try it again. So I did it again. It popped out and it was like nothing happened. Nobody even noticed. The place was so crowded and so packed. And this was like right at the service bar, like right in the middle of the restaurant.
Wow.
Nobody even noticed. And his thing was, just don't tell anybody at the table.
What?
That was his response after I did that. I was sweating. I couldn't even focus on what I was doing. I was like, oh my God.
Like nothing?
Nothing happened. He walked up to me. He was not at his table when this happened. Isn't that crazy?
Was he with family?
Friends.
Friends? Okay.
Or so people he wanted to impress.
Okay, gotcha.
Meanwhile, you're choking on a piece of steak. Come on, buddy.
Listen, I choked on a steak once. I'm embarrassed to tell you why. So I was at the old job upstairs, right? And you know how hectic parties can be. It's a small kitchen. And the chef put up one too many fillets, right? I'm hungry.
Take a big old bite. Yo, chewing on that thing.
That goes so fast.
So I start like hacking it up. I think it was like me and Shipe, right? I start hacking it up, and a manager comes around the corner because we're doing it right in front of the office. Real smart, right? And so I start to quickly swallow. And the thing
started choking.
Large, bro. My eyes got big immediately.
Oh wow.
And it's the scariest feeling because you instantly feel alone.
Can't breathe. Yeah.
You know, because you're around people, but you can't really tell them. We're not used to, I mean, you speak with your hands. I can see it, but I'm not used to speaking with my hands. So you do the international choking sign with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking the manager comes by and I'm just kind of like nodding a little bit. I don't want, you know, because I threw the plate in the bus tub.
You're dying over here.
I'm dying. He goes into the office. And then I somehow start to like, you know, work it up. And then I got to spit it on the garbage. I couldn't even, you know, communicate to Shipe, you know, he was next to me because he kind of turned around. You know, he had his own problems trying to, you know.
Hide the steak
and stuff like that. So, yeah. And I thought about that. It's like, man, it's a lonely feeling. It's a really lonely feeling where you know, you're in trouble and, you know, it's not like Lassie. Scary. Hey, Lassie, what's, you know, someone fell in the well, you know, nobody speaks for you.
No. That's, I'm sure it was a difficult thing for anyone. It happened at the restaurant not too long ago. A guy we had to give the Heimlich to.
Really? I didn't know about that.
No.
Wow, that's wild. And okay, so we're up to the country club and where's your head at now? What are you thinking is the best part of serving at this point? Do you have any other businesses going on?
No.
Okay.
Not at the time. Although I do recommend multiple sources of income because things go up, things go down.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely in this business, a lot of the servers that I know invest. Some invest together on real estate. Some invest in the stock market.
Okay.
Which isn't doing so well right now.
So then give us a little PSA to servers, because we're talking to servers, whether they're part-time or... So, and not just servers, I'm sorry, because we have busboys that are into other things.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Food runners that are into other things.
Yep.
I'm talking business. I'm talking about investing. I'm talking about trading. I'm talking about whatever the case may be. The only reason why our voice isn't necessarily to the back of the house, although, you know, we are skewing all restaurant business things, it's because I have not been on that side in a long time. And I'd like to speak from a platform where I have the understanding of. So give me a little PSA about what you just said, like, you know, what's important. It's important to be in a very flexible you know, industry where you can make money, which is the service industry.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'd like you to reiterate what you said for the people about having multiple streams of income.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dive into that a little bit.
Well, we're seasonal down here, you know. A lot of the shifts go away in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have a better summer, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people are moving down here. I mean, mm-hmm. for sure. I think we'll have a better summer, but it does die down. And, you know, there's things you can do. I mean, you can get into, I guess it's all the side businesses.
Yeah. The regular side hustles.
The side hustles. You know, you got to figure that out. And I was a chef, so I started doing a little bit meals here and there.
Okay.
Cooking meals for a lot of people that
food prep, stuff like that.
Food prep. Yeah, a lot of people don't want to go out to restaurants mm-hmm. or can't go to restaurants. So you chefs out there,
mm-hmm.
You can start doing that. You can put a little menu together, or you can do, I was just doing custom. You know, I would interview them and I'd talk to them and I'd be like, okay, where's the Kit Kats and where are the M&Ms? Where do you keep those? You got to get rid of them. You can't just sit there. If I'm going to feed you this great food, it's not going to work. You're not going to lose weight if you're waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're stuffing yourself with, you know, junk. Yeah. But that's one side hustle. You know, you guys have your side hustles. Definitely in the trading market and doing all that kind of thing. Yeah, there's you need to have something else, because just working in the restaurant business, it can be too much for a lot of people. There are times where I'm so stressed out. I'm just like, how do I get out of this? You know, a lot of people love it and, you know, it treats them well. I love it more now because I'm not there as much as I always was.
Agreed.
It was like I cared so much my whole life about the restaurant business because, like I said, I cooked one with my grandmother. I always was in the restaurant business. That's what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, doing it for so many years, it's, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy it, but in increments. I don't want to do doubles. I don't want to do 5-6 days a week if I don't have to.
Now, I think that's important because the time in which I started to make the switch in my brain where I wasn't downright mean to people was when I had other things going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it there's some weight to it when it's all that you do and mm-hmm. you're there
so
5
true.
Days and, you know, it's rent week and things like that. And then this table isn't, you know, really treating you right or it's just not going well. You get this thing where it has to go well, but when it's odd, when you're light about it,
it goes well.
It goes well.
Yes.
You know, it goes
does.
Well.
When, and they see that.
And they see that.
When you're not stressed out about finance or anything else, I mean, everybody's going to have finance issues at times, but when you're not really too worried about it and you can kind of coast and you can make more money.
Don't get me wrong. It all matters and it all counts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're not doing this just because we want to hang out.
No.
You know, but, you know, I'm a different type of dude, and it's been years. I do not look at my sales. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's the bottom line.
It already passed.
I mean,
you know, people say to me,
I'm sure our boss is the one who hear that, but it's true. I mean, we care about, like,
I know. Okay, so I get sat, I sell at the table.
Yeah.
And they complete the transaction. I take their money. If I get sad again, I'll do the same thing, rinse, repeat. What is it that I need to do by looking at my sales?
Nothing.
There's nothing I can do.
No.
Especially,
it is what it is. At the end of the day, this is what you make. And it's not even a thing that you even stress about anymore. Because
exactly.
It's just part of your life. It isn't your whole life.
Yeah.
Even for a while, it was for me, though. I became obsessed with it. The amount of money that I had times of making, mm-hmm. it was an obsession. And it wasn't good. It didn't end well.
All right, so let's talk about the we talked about some good, and let's talk about some bad and some ugly. What are some of the things particularly that you've experienced that really, you know, were backbreaking, as you would put it?
God, there's so many like things that happen on a daily occurrence. You know,
I'm interested. We did touch upon your business, your sandwich shop.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start there and work our way up to serving.
The sandwich shop was my one regret.
Okay.
Regret for closing.
Okay. Really?
It held its own. I burnt out. Okay. So I regret that. That's a difference.
And it's busted my butt. It was doing what it's supposed to be doing. as a business?
Yeah, I just had a hard time getting ahead. It was like the AC breaks or this breaks or that break. I mean, it was a full kitchen. I roasted my own turkey. I roasted my own roast beef. I made my own stocks for my soups. But the thing is, I was doing it all.
Yeah.
And you can't when you have to get some help.
You got to delegate. Yeah, yeah.
You got to figure a way. I mean, I was breaking down chicken breast to portion size for chicken tenders, for chicken, whatever.
You're
I was
micromanager?
Making.
Micromanager?
I'm OCD about it.
Okay.
I like to make sure that everything's organized, clean. I don't want anything bad going out of my kitchens. Like, everything was sealed right, you know, Ziploc bags, hard containers. There was no, you know, you wrapped it properly.
Mm.
You know, I wanted to, in that respect. But I think a lot of chefs are, and I think they should be.
Mm.
They need to be, more chefs need to be less food poisoning and foodborne illnesses out there, because a lot, you hear it all the time. This restaurant got cited, this restaurant got cited. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
And you want your chef to be OCD, to be honest.
Okay.
Organized, so clean.
You got burnt out. Now, I find that a lot of this is personal, right? Like the times where I wasn't that successful in this industry, it was a personal time when I wasn't successful in my own life. Do you find that to be true?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a hard time I went through when I lost my pup. I mean, if those of you have dogs, no. I mean, you lose your dog, it's...
And how did that affect you work-wise?
How did that affect me work-wise? I couldn't work. Wow. I couldn't do anything. I was, for 6 months, I was crushed.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's... And how long? How old was the dog when you left?
He was almost 14.
Okay, yeah, so... Yeah,
he was by my side.
Yeah, he's your man.
Don't even get me started. You make me break down on this podcast.
All right, well... We don't want that.
No. I'm going to work tonight.
Because I won't be cutting it out.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good thing to do.
All right. Now, so take us, we went beyond the country club now.
Yeah.
And now you're.
I'm getting into the serving aspect. I'm starting to become more than just an order taker.
Okay.
I'm starting to work at some good places.
Now, what is one of the lessons that you can, you know, impart onto someone? Because we tell people, if you're going to be in this business, not only do you need something else to do, but it's important to level up, right? It's important to make more money. There's only a couple of ways that you can make more money. We're exchanging time for money, basically.
Yeah.
So you want to be a high...
work less, make more.
Yes, exactly. You know, you
work less, make more.
You want to be...
You got to be in a good spot. It doesn't mean the most expensive spot.
No.
It doesn't have to be the most expensive spot. Wineless can help that. I worked at a restaurant that, you know, wasn't the most expensive at all. But they're wine list. So you get to know about wine. You get to know what you like.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when people would say, what do you think about this wine? I never tried it, but I've been really wanting to. Oh, why don't you get us a bottle and get yourself a glass and us two glasses and we'll try it out. You know, it's a $490 bottle of Hillside, you know, Schaefer Hillside Select, you know. Tried it out. Remembers you. You have a great time. Hey, I want him as my server next time. That's it.
Yeah.
That's how you make money doing that. You know, but also be on their side, like I said before.
Okay.
Make it like you were, how do you want to be treated? Do you want somebody to run up a check on you when you sit there? No. So why would you do that to somebody else?
I like...
you don't want to be taken.
Exactly.
And I tell you, you get that vibe sometimes from people. They're kind of a little bitter towards you at first, and then you kind of loosen up, and, you know, that's your job to loosen them up and make them feel like, you know, they can trust you, you know? And when you say, hey, sir, you know that, you know, I think it's a little too much, or ma'am, can I refresh your wine, as opposed to getting you another, because they feel like when you say that, you're an alcoholic. A lot of people I hear say that. Can I get you another?
I tell them, I sell casually. You know, I say, I'm on my way to the bar. Would you like another Doers? You know,
exactly.
I call it by name and I just make it all casual. I don't say, you want another drink? No. You know,
I don't do any of that. I just kind of, if I'm looking at a table and I'm going down and I'm like, hit with the one, or, you know, they kind of give you the nod. Then nothing needs to be said.
Well, yeah, it's good. I don't like to interrupt. Like, when my guests are talking, you can tell. The last thing you want to do is, do you want a drink? So I'll try and get their attention with their eyes. And exactly. You know, I talk with my hands. I'll just go like that, mm-hmm. which is my signal for drinking.
Exactly.
And they'll be like, yeah. And they appreciate things like that.
Because they're still, like you said, they're in the midst of what they're doing, but they feel like they've been acknowledged and then everything kind of flows.
They're taking care of. Exactly. You're taking care of them and you're not interrupting. Maybe they're in a business meeting. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're making a big deal and, you know.
Yeah.
So you try not to interrupt too much there. Yeah, you can. There's definitely a lot of ways to make money being a server, but you got to be on their side. You know, you got to have some food knowledge, especially at all these restaurants with ingredients that most people don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny now you see sriracha everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, I remember I was cooking in '90s. Sriracha was like this. Wow, what is that stuff? It's amazing. Now everybody has it at their house, and you know, it's just unbelievable how all these different ingredients and
Like the availability, just first of all, the knowledge of it, mm-hmm. you know, and now the availability of it. And technology is just moving those things where you can have a sous vide at home, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah. Before it's like a very specialized.
People would look at sous vide. Oh, that's just a fancy way for you to take money out of my pocket. Put it on the menu. A lot of chefs put these things on the menu that we don't even understand, but now people are starting to understand.
Yeah.
What's the sous vide?
You cook it at 170 degrees consistently, so it makes it nice and tender, and then you finish the cooking process to order.
Oh, okay.
You're in, it's a water bath of 170.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you can basically set, it's a way to get a consistent temperature.
Gotcha.
All okay. right. So
if, marinating flavors more mm-hmm. if you want. You can. It goes in a bag. You know,
whoops. Yeah, like you can vacuum seal it, put in the Lexan with the sous vide, which circulates the water. Like the good ones really circulate the water and regulate the temperature at a certain time. So basically, instead of putting it into an oven or a pan where you really have no idea what rate that temperature is getting mm-hmm. up, it's a control thing and it stays at that temperature. So in theory. You can have a bunch of meats at that temperature or, mm-hmm. you know, or vegetables if you'd like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if you do have an order for a certain temperature, the time it takes to get from the, 170 to the desired temp, it's shorter than if you brought it up from, gotcha. You know, room yeah. temperature or chilled all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And you just finish that off, bang, bang, and it's... You know, the I don't know what use the word moist, but
tender. Or?
Yeah. It's
is that one of those words?
it is for a lot of people.
I know. I don't understand why.
I don't need to. I just know it exists.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, one of those. And we did a two series of shows. We did one on reasons, 10 reasons why being a waiter. Is great, mm-hmm. and I think it was like 8 reasons why being a waiter sucks.
Yeah, something like that.
What's the top reason why being a chef sucks?
Pressure. Stress.
Mm.
But that goes for a server, too. It's the whole business. I mean, it can be really stressful at all times. I mean, I think we've all stressed out. But as a chef, there's 3 main costs in the restaurant business. You got your bar labor, food costs, and he's responsible or she is responsible for 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough, man. And you're there a lot of hours. It's not an hourly thing. So you're getting, you know, you're in the back of your head, you're like, shit, I'm here 60, 70 hours a week. I'm making blah, blah, blah. And my hourly is $6 an hour.
Yeah.
But you can't really think about it like that. Like managers.
Yeah.
You know, at least they have consistent pay and benefits and stuff. But a chef, I mean, it was, I think it's harder back then than it is now for chefs. There was way more drugs in the restaurant business back then than there are now.
Really?
Way more.
Okay.
I had people falling asleep in the middle of cooking a steak. I mean, dude.
On their feet?
Oh, dude, I've seen people leave the line, go in the bathroom, shoot up, come back out. Way worse back then. Way worse. Here, they just take a pill, they fall asleep in the back. Adios.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, there's nothing. People back then are doing coke off there and they're just doing everything, man. I mean, I saw way worse things back then than I do now. I think people are healthier in that respect now. They have to be.
Yeah.
You know, I worked at a restaurant that, you know, the chef went from one extreme to the next and expected everybody else to also.
As prevalent, or as you get older and you move to different situations and different places, that it just gets different? Because, you know, I mean, I still feel like there's those places where all those things exist, like you're talking about.
Well, there, you guys remember, we're all of the same age, and you remember when the, you know, there was yelling and screaming in the kitchen, yeah, and plates were flying, and, you know, drugs were everywhere. Everybody partied with each other.
Yeah.
Some slept with each other. And now it's nothing like, not that I notice in the restaurants that I have, you know, in the past 10 years. I think that's
Danny's point. Do you think you not noticing is more of you not being in that environment? Not,
I'm definitely not, so that's possible. Yeah. I don't go out anymore after work like we used to. Not at all.
And you made a good point, because there seems to be, at some places, more of a level of respect in the kitchen. Yes, some chefs could be abusive. Yes, some kitchens can be a little loud, but there has been a movement towards a quieter kitchen so that the voice can be heard.
I think that had to stop, and I don't know if it had to do with lawsuits in the past, but yeah, there are some chefs that used to, I don't see that like it used to be.
Yeah,
agreed. Nothing. No. And I'm glad. I'm glad for it. You know, it was some crazy things that used to happen.
Yeah.
Definitely plates were flying.
So I'll let you go on this one. Besides the sandwich shop, what would you do over again?
I would do another sandwich shop.
Okay.
It's my passion.
Yeah.
It was something that I should have kept going, but, you know, it's life and we move on.
That's true.
And then there's something else on the next horizon.
There you go.
You know, I'd like to invite you. We do a series called In the Kitchen. We've done one so far with our friend Mateo, and he came by and he cooked us a ribeye with
truffle fries. Well, you didn't have the truffle one.
I didn't have the truffle fries. He did season it. He did it with it was like a rosemary butter, mm-hmm, on the steak.
Nice.
And there were steak fries with they were seasoned with rosemary as well.
Mm-hmm.
He put that in the oil halfway through. It was very good.
Mm.
And I feel like we're missing something. There were like some peppers.
Yes.
Like bell peppers.
Yes. Yeah.
I forgot how he had did those. Yeah, he blistered them on the I think it couldn't have been an open flame. But I'd like to invite you to do.
Yeah, come cook for us. We're hungry.
Oh, yeah, cook for you. Yeah, no problem.
I didn't want to really put it that way. You know what I mean?
We all love to eat.
What's your thing? What do you cook? What do you like to cook?
Oh, you know, I would rather cook at home, because sometimes you ever have a craving for like a good chicken parm sandwich?
Yeah.
You know, and you go there and
it's not what you wanted.
It's thick, mm-hmm, wasn't pounded out. Needs to be nice and thin, crispy, fresh mozzarella on top, tomato sauce, you know. I just rather cook it at home.
See, yeah, I feel you.
It's as simple as a chicken parm,
mm-hmm,
you know, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's going to be done right, cook it at home. It's a good thing to know how to cook. So right. I can't really say specifically. I could tell you my favorite thing is chicken wings, though.
Boom.
All right, we got something to talk about then.
Yeah, there's a little trick to cooking chicken wings a lot of people don't know about.
Okay,
we'll save the secrets.
Well, we're not going to talk about the secrets, but in a couple of, in about a week and a half, no, 2 weeks, I have a little wing off with my family.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we're talking about that. So I am preparing a Cajun dry rub wings with potato salad and a mango salsa. Mm. With the red and green cabbage.
What are we dipping into?
I haven't decided. It's probably going to be ranch. I think the blue cheese will cover up too much of the Cajun, so it might be ranch. I know you're looking at me sideways.
That is sideways.
Right? I know. That is sideways.
He gave him the full head turn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, if it's a competition with you and your family, I won't help you or throw anything.
Listen,
avocado key lime, but I won't help you at all.
I'm just saying, I
like that. Sounds
I
delicious.
Love wings
with the smoky flavor of the little put a little heat on the smoke.
Okay,
And then, yeah, man, good stuff.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
It was good times, guys. Thanks for having me.
Man, Mr. Scott. And thank you for sharing. Thank you so much for your time. And
my pleasure.
If those of you are out there that want to reach out to me, I'm always on Instagram. You could follow me there. I'm at The Modern Waiter Podcast. If you want to email me with any show ideas, comments, or questions, I get them and I answer them. I really do. And I am themodernwaiter@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We do this each and every week for you. If you do enjoy our show, we ask you that you pass it on to a friend. Tell them that you listened to the Modern Waiter Podcast, and it was pretty cool. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVille. Subscribe, 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 people.
We'll see you next week.
Later.
Around, you can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.